Leave the Dark Side. We're talking about Entangled in Darkness with Deborah King. We'll be back and take your final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Deborah King with us, of course. Your phone calls, Fast Night as well. Deborah, you're also considered a healer. When and how did that start for you?
Well, that's a story. George, you know, I was this young woman, just out of law school, climbing the corporate ladder and thinking I've had it all. As I mentioned earlier, I woke up with cancer and I was only 25. I was really puzzled. I was like, where did this come from? I honestly didn't have a clue. I stopped my life, though, long enough to look at myself, and I realized I had quite a few problems. I had a pretty significant drinking problem that I was scuffing under the carpet, and I was mixing it with a fair amount of Valium, which was the drug of choice at the time. So that's really where I started. I got off my life long enough to get a handle on my addiction. And it gave me so much clarity. That was my first step, and I really recommend that to people who are suffering from that. It's such a drag. Addictions, just, you know, it's just like you've already got one problem, and, you know, then you get an addiction, and you've got another sizable one. So I started there, and the next thing I did was I learned to meditate. And I have no idea where I got that super idea, because it wasn't fashionable then like it is now. I mean, I know everybody talks about meditation today, but this was more than 25 years ago. It was a pretty novel concept. So I learned to meditate, and with all this clarity, I had that amazing idea to ask my physicians for some time to consider alternatives. Again, very early on, alternative medicine, nobody had a clue. There weren't a lot of options out there. But I stumbled on someone who did what was then called good old-fashioned hands-on healing.
Yeah.
It's out of the chakra system.
And you can actually feel that energy.
You sure can. So I had three sessions with this gal. Still remember it. I had this amazing remission right on her table. So I decided right then and there I wanted to study that stuff. I still was a lawyer. That's how I made my living for many, many years. And I started studying energy healing, totally fascinated by it. No idea why. I never realized I would ultimately end up teaching it, which is what I do today, one of the main things I do. And it's an amazing field. It's now very supported by modern physics. It is all about the dark and the light, which ties into, you know, very much what we're talking about today. It is possible to change something that's going on with you physically. It actually is possible. I think we all know that. I think we sense it, you know, deeply inside ourselves. And there are techniques that, you know, can be taught.
Sure. Let's go to the phones now. Eric is in Farmington, Missouri. First-time caller. Eric, go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, George, thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
First-time caller, listener for about 3 years now. I have a question for Deborah about vampires.
All right.
How is hemophiliacs like a separate species of vampire, because some hemophiliacs do take blood transfusions, and in essence, they're taking in blood. That's basically what my question is, and I'll take my answer off there.
Right.
Thank you.
Now, that's a disease, though, Deborah, so I don't think they're part of it. What do you think?
No, I agree with you, George. I don't think they have a stitch of vampire in them. I think it's an unfortunate medical condition. That is very ancient, by the way. You know, all the kings in England suffered from it.
Yeah, it's very hereditary.
It's very hereditary, and it ran through a lot of the royal families because there was so much inbreeding. But I would say, Eric, that it's not related to the vampire condition.
What do you think, Deborah, of human beings who act like vampires? They put their fangs on, and they go to parties, and they try to suck blood. But they're not really vampires.
Probably not, but take a good look at their eyes, okay? If they've got that dark ring around the iris, around the colored part of the eye, I would be careful. I wouldn't look too carefully at them, you know, for too long. It's very beautiful, but it's mesmerizing. But watch out. Again, if they make a lot of eye contact with you, you might find it difficult to look away. If you feel a pull, George, on your midsection, you know, above your waist where your third chakra is, that's your personal power center. You might be with someone who's either psychically draining you, an energy vampire, that Aunt Sally type, or you might be with a real one. Who knows? So again, if you look into somebody's eyes and you have the sense of falling or things get very blurry, I would be super careful.
Next up, Paul is in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Paul, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hello. I just have a question about, could a person be a psychic vampire and not realize it?
Oh, there's no question. Go ahead.
I have an aunt and uncle, and my family is a bunch of psychics, and they won't do anything around me. They say I'm like a big black hole. I suck all the energy out of the room, people tend to get tired around me whenever I come around. I'm 50 years old. I could pass for 30. I don't know. Maybe I am a vampire.
All right, you can listen on the radio, Paul. There's no question that that people can be psychic vampires, not even know it. I have also talked about this story over the years of my friend Andy in St. Louis, who may have been one of the worst psychic vampires I've ever encountered. He emptied a room. He could literally empty a room when he walked in and didn't know it. Nice guy. I liked it. Liked him, but there was something about him. He just was a magnet to energy, and people were exhausted being around him or even being in the room. And I finally sat down with him, Deborah, and talked with him about it and told him what I thought was wrong, that he was one of these psychic vampires. And we went through some training exercises to try to help the guy. And sure enough, it worked. He changed his entire persona. Now, have you ever heard that before?
Well, I have. And I think that was really nice of you, by the way, to make that big of an effort to help him out. Over in my neck of the woods, we would call that personality type oral. So that's really what a psychic vampire is. It's someone who has this need, usually from early childhood. Paul, you might think back to your own circumstances as a child. Usually they're not fed enough, either not fed enough really, you know, in terms of milk and food, or not fed enough in terms of love. So this individual comes out of the second or third month of life, you know, when they're very, very young, with an insatiable need for more energy or more something from other people. They can't seem to get enough. And George, it's really interesting. They often have eyes that are like puppy dog eyes. They plead with you and just drain you dry, take every drop of energy you have.
Let's go to Daniel.
How interesting that you reframed your friend.
Oh, yeah. Daniel in Denver. Go ahead, Dan. Mr. Daniel?
Hello?
Yep. Yes, you're up with us, Daniel.
All right. Thank you, George. Honored to be on your show. I've listened for as long as I can remember.
Thank you.
I actually am a psychic vampire. I'm one of what the community refers to as an ethical psychic vampire. I refuse to take energy from anybody without express permission and informed consent from this person. A lot of us in the community are this way, but we don't get any press. All you ever hear about on TV or the radio or the news are the handful of bad apples that take it because they can, or, as you just mentioned with this previous caller, that didn't know they were psychic vampires.
Right.
And those people in the community, we take it on ourselves, those of us that are ethical vampires, to educate them in how to feed, when to feed, and when not to feed on the energy. Many of us, like myself, it's a medical condition that we're unable to generate enough life force energy in our own body to sustain us. Therefore, we need that added energy that we get from outside of ourselves to sustain our health and our life. Without it, we get sick very quickly, and we can die from it. It's a medical condition, but you never hear anywhere about those of us that do it the right way. They're caring. We use, much as Deborah, we use psychic healing. You can create in the body when you're sick or injured, you get energy blockages throughout the body. We can feel and sense those, and we can break up those blockages to where that person's health and their well-being is enhanced, to where we are actually a benefit to people. But we never, you never hear on the radio or on TV or in the news about the good that we do. You only hear it when we do something bad, and that really bothers me.
I suspect, Daniel, when you were a child, did you get sick a lot?
A lot. I spent most of my young childhood in the hospital.
Now, when did you realize you were a psychic vampire, though? What happened? How did you realize that?
I actually got attracted to Wicca.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were running the Wicca group, they felt the energy pull that I was doing. And they set me aside and we talked and we figured it out. And they did much as you did with your friend. They taught me how to control my abilities and my need to where I wasn't hurting people anymore.
Ah.
And
hey, Daniel, I have an idea for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Daniel, I have an idea for you. I'm not so sure that you're a psychic vampire. I'm feeling into your energy field. You actually have a really high consciousness. I suspect you are able to transform others using energy, which would be the opposite of a vampire-like activity. I would encourage you to think about it very differently. I think you might be a natural healer.
But he does say he needs it. He does need to feed off certain people who, I assume, Daniel, are willing to let you do this, right?
Yes. The only person I feed off from now is my wife.
I was just going to say that.
Now, is she drained when you do this?
No, I control how much I take. I only take as much as she's able to give without weakening her. Or if she is ill or during the time of her period, I don't take any energy from her because she's weakened in that time. And it's when a woman is on her period, that energy is not palatable to me. It actually makes me sick taking her energy then.
Huh.
Hey, Daniel, you've just described every relationship. The only difference is you're conscious of when you're taking someone's energy, and the rest of us, most people in their relationship with their significant other, they just, you know, take energy whenever they want or whatever the custom is between those two people without consciously knowing it. So the difference with you is you're conscious of what you're doing.
Which is unusual.
At a higher level, very unusual.
All right, Daniel, thanks. Good luck to you.
That was fascinating.
It really was. And the fact that he would freely control it by, you know, probably coming up to people, like he said, it's his wife now. She knows.
Well, what he described was actually high caliber ability to knowingly manipulate energy. That's what an energy healer is. He doesn't know it, but that's actually what he's doing. He's able to transform himself and others using energy in a conscious way.
I would think, though, that most people, one, either don't know they're psychic vampires, or two, if they do, unlike Daniel, they don't care. They just simply need to feed, and they do what they have to do.
Yeah, but George, to a degree, everybody in their primary relationship is you know, taking some energy from their partner part of the time. We all do that. We just don't admit to it.
Anchorage, Alaska, we go. Parker's turn on Coast to Coast. Parker, go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Deborah. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hello.
All right. So my question was, even though I admit I missed part of the show, I was wondering, Deborah, if you feel vampires have anything in relation to do with angels and demons, or if you've maybe in your studies feel that there are any allusions to vampires in the Book of Enoch.
You know, I am not an expert on the Book of Enoch, so I can't address that question, but I have a fair amount of expertise on angels.
And what would the tie-in with an angel be? Probably none. More so demons, I would guess, Deborah.
Well, if you go back historically with angels, it's really interesting. They are a very high form of energy that split into two camps way back in the beginning, the Dark Angels, if you'll think about the history here, George, the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
and not just the Old Testament, but other, important books, from Islamic to, other cultures all share this belief that there was originally this light that, what we call Lucifer, he decided he wanted to be part of that, and he took his light and became a dark angel. So, in fact, that is probably the very beginning of the tradition of something dark like a vampire.
It's an amazing field,
though. Connection to angels. It is, uh-huh.
Can you get hurt dealing with a vampire? Physically hurt?
Oh, totally. Sure, because they have these, amazing heightened physical abilities and heightened psychic powers.
Can they kill you?
I don't think they want to. You wouldn't be a good source of blood if you were dead.
They want to keep you around as a feeder host or something.
Exactly. I think they're more inclined to drain you and then come back weeks later and, drain you again.
Brett,
they have a lot of sex appeal, by the way.
Some of them do. Not all of them. Some of them look like Nosferatu.
Right, but manipulation and seduction are their two biggest tools.
Right. It's interesting, though, how Hollywood has glamorized them as well, from the ugly Nosferatu to the good-looking kids in Twilight.
The irresistible, that's right.
And then, is that real?
No, that's very Hollywood. But again, all they've done is exaggerate something that we're sensing.
Well, how close is Hollywood to the real thing? Not at all?
It's far off the mark. No, I don't think it's that far off the mark. A really experienced vampire can also shapeshift. And I think that a good Hollywood scriptwriter perhaps has sensed this or seen this. Every shamanic culture I've studied, medicine men and elders that can commune with animal spirits, they can take their shape. So it's not hard to think that a vampire energy, a dark energy, could, for example, take the shape of a bat.
Bats are weird-looking things. You ever been to Austin, Texas? There are millions of them under a bridge out there. They all hang up there.
Now I'm going to Austin.
And then when they leave, when they fly in unison, it's like a huge black cloud.
Huh.
All,
that sounds very interesting.
All vampires. You don't want to be standing underneath them, that's for sure. Well, Deborah King was a guest of mine on our television program, Beyond Belief, and you can watch that program by going to the website and sign up, beyondbelief.com, www.beyondbelief.com. Okay, welcome back. Deborah King with us. This is our final segment, so we'll get to your final calls as well as we talk about Entangled in Darkness. How many people do you think, and I don't mean numbers, Deborah, dabble with the dark side?
Way too many, George. I think you'd be amazed at how many people flirt with it, from things that seem quite harmless to them, like Ouija boards. There's a lot of dark out there. I cover all of this in a free ebook that I have for your listeners, George. If they just swing over to deborahking.com and click on the Coast to Coast image, they can download my ebook. It covers a lot of this.
What is one of your
really important points?
Have you ever been scared to death in this area? I mean, because you dabble with a lot of strange stuff.
I do. Not to death, but I've certainly been startled a number of times and challenged. I think the worst thing that ever happened to me was it was totally my own fault, and that's how these things happen. I was, I can be safe working with someone if I stay in alignment. I have to stay in the light. And I still remember this occasion. I'll tell you about it. I have a couple of rules, and I violated all of them because my staff told me that someone very important had called. They were going to fly in from Europe. Now, notice I'm already going to ego just while I'm talking about it. And I got sucked in. This was an important celebrity who was flying in to see me, you know, in her private jet, et cetera, et cetera. So I should have known not to work with this gal. I was already out of alignment, but I broke every rule in the book. I knew I had a little cold. I shouldn't be working with anyone, and I hadn't done privates in years, but I did a private for this lady. And when she came in, it was a dimly lit room. It was about 6 in the evening. It was a small room. And I still remember the moment she walked in, I knew I was in big trouble. I have never felt anything quite that evil. She had on a long skirt, and I remember thinking, I wonder if I could just jump through this window here. How embarrassing would that be? I should have just exited, should have run out of the room, but I didn't. I tried to pretend that, you know, I could cope with it and everything would be okay. It wasn't all that long ago. It was 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, I'm glad you got out of it.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I decided the thing to do was throw her on a massage table and do a little hands-on work. And when I did, I saw her feet. She kicked off her shoes and hopped on the table. And I promise you, this is honest to God truth. She had cloven feet.
No.
Like cloven hooves. I've never seen anything like it. I almost just fainted. I managed to work my way through the session. But the moment she left the room, I became very weak. I had trouble standing up. I had somebody come take me, you know, to my room. The next day, I had to be taken to an urgent care. Turned out I had some rapid forming kind of pneumonia that no one could track. It was not very well treated with antibiotics. So, I mean, I really suffered from this. That was probably the worst thing that has ever happened.
All right, let's take some final calls here for you. We'll pick it up by going to Brian, truck driving in Wyoming. You're on with Deborah. Go ahead, Bri.
Hi. I have a question. I'm not sure exactly whether I'm, you know, how I stand. Sometimes I'll go to a function and I'll have people get up and move away from me, because I vibrate at such a high level and I have such a high, high consciousness. I'm just really, really spiritual. And then I have other people that are totally drawn to me because of my energy. Is that, that's not really being an energy vampire. It's more being, I don't know. I it seems like some people can't handle it and some people are attracted to it. Have you ever ran into anything like that?
What is that, Deborah?
Well, I'm feeling into it, Brian. It feels like, you know what I would encourage you to do is to think about meditating. Have you ever tried meditating?
Oh, I did. I definitely meditate every day. I have a collection of crystal skulls that I meditate with, and I have a very high galactic connection as well. So
I would love for you to get some outdoor connection. I mean, you're in Wyoming. I know it's cold there right now, right? Is it on the chilly side?
I live in Salt Lake. I drive through Wyoming and back Salt Lake at night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I would love for you to spend a little bit of time outdoors, you know, in the sunshine, the fresh air, you know, and out in the trees perhaps, or out in the desert. I think that'd be the healthiest thing of all. Yeah, it would help you get really grounded.
Yeah, I do tend to
spin out a little bit. Your spiritual connection's real high, and it feels like you're spinning a bit. So I would encourage you to get some earth connection. It'll help you balance.
Deborah, what's your favorite part of your book, Entangled?
Probably that story I was just telling you about the lady with the cloven feet.
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
It was weird. And it was very humbling because, of course, I screwed up or it wouldn't have happened to me. You know, if I'd stayed in alignment and hadn't gone into ego of being so enthused about this, you know, major celebrity flying in to see me, I wouldn't have been out of whack, and the energy wouldn't have been able to affect me.
Used to sell shoes to help put myself through college, and I don't know what I'd do if I saw a woman take her shoes off and there were cloven hoofs. What would you do?
I don't know. It'd be a hard thing to fit.
Or maybe easy. Here's Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's Brett's turn on Coast to Coast. Brett, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, or good morning, rather.
Sure.
Nori and Miss King.
Yes, Brett. Uh-huh.
So I'd like to say, great Veterans Day show, Mr.
Oh, Nori. Thank you. Thank you, Brett.
And to Buck, you're an earlier... An earlier guest, I'd like to send him my prayers for himself and for his friends. And Super Bumper Music, Stevie Nicks, you can't go wrong there.
So. That's right. That's right. Well, anyway, do you have a question there for Deborah before the clock gets us?
Yeah, I wanted to talk. I know you're short on time, and I'll get on with it real quick.
Sure.
I found out in the late 1980s that the old adage of opposites attract isn't necessarily true. I came out of a public house or tavern and one night, and not real late, but walked into a group of fellows and gals, and I could just feel the energy being sucked right out of me. And so I got away quick. I wasn't sure what was going on, but it wasn't the good Guinness.
Well, Deborah, what happens, like with Brad, if you're in a room full of psychic vampires? I mean, that'll wipe you out.
Yeah, I want to compliment him. He's very intuitive. So you got great intuition going there, Brett, and a real feel for other people. So maximize that, because your body's never going to lie to you. And that's true for all your listeners, George. You know, our bodies don't lie to us. They really don't. They tell us the real deal, you know, that feeling we get in the pit of our stomach that lets us know when this isn't the right room, as Brett was just saying, and the wrong group of people. Or maybe it's a dark alley, or, you know, the wrong place to rent. Anytime you get one of those hits like that in your body, honor it, because your body has great sensing mechanism.
Sure does. All right, west of the Rockies, it's Jonathan's turn in California. John, go ahead, Jonathan.
Good morning, George and Deborah. How you doing?
Hi. Good.
Great.
Deborah, it sounds to me, and correct me gently if I'm mistaken, that you have a burden for souls. You say from darkness to light. And that's funny, because the Bible says that's the purpose of salvation, to pull them from darkness to light. And I'm a repented, baptized, name of Jesus Christ, remission of sins, Holy Ghost-filled preacher, as according to Acts 2:38. And I have a question for you. I was raised Roman Catholic, and they used to say that my temper, if I didn't learn to control it, would get the best of me. And you know how you can lean into darkness? If you do it too much, you'll find yourself looking out from within. Do you agree with that?
Let me see if I understood your question. You were saying that... A temper
can lead to darkness, and your emotions, if not handled right, can lead you to dark places.
Absolutely, and that's why I really encourage people, Jonathan, to get in touch with their emotions and, you know, talk to somebody about them, work through them somehow. For some people, it can be playing basketball, you know, could be the way to do it. For somebody else, it could be taking a walk. Somebody else might want to sit down and write about it, you know, whatever works for you.
It happens.
For getting a handle on it, yeah.
Happens time and time again, where people's emotions pull them into the darkness, doesn't it?
No, totally, George. Yeah, that's how it happens.
All right, we have Eric in Seattle, and now he's on Coast to Coast. Eric, go ahead.
George, hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
I just gotta say, I'm a long time listener, huge fan, and
thank
Deborah,
you.
I gotta say, I'm a huge fan of your work as well, and I'm a very, very respectful towards your cause. So both you guys, I'm really excited to have you guys, like, talking to me right now.
Sure. I'm glad you're here. Go ahead.
So, actually, I got so many questions for you guys. But, so, Deborah, at first I was going to ask, like, you know, what got you interested in the whole thing of being able to read these psychic vampires and stuff? And then I'm, like, you know, I'm on hold, and I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, a lot of what you're saying really rings true to me. Like, I play in rock and roll bands here in Seattle. You know, it's not the brightest place. It's the city of rain, the city of pain, as they call it. And basically, I know what you're exactly what you're saying about the whole addiction trip and everything else, and I experience these psychic vampires on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I'm just curious, like, say you're talking to somebody, and it's somebody who you go into a room with, and you start talking to them, and they're, you know, they seem like they're interested in what you're doing, but then they put out some kind of energy that just starts to drag you down and then makes you want to, it kind of breaks down your whole cause and then makes you want to, like, do what they're doing and kind of, like derails you a little bit. I wanted to know if that goes along with what you're talking about.
It does, and I want to give you a piece of good news, Eric. You're actually quite full of light. So,
Jill.
Yeah, very, very cool.
I'm so respectful of your work, and I'm just like, you know, I play in rock and roll bands, so I deal with a lot of guys who are doing a lot of drugs, drink a lot, and I try to navigate towards the light
I'm not sensing that in you at all. So good for you. There's nothing inherently wrong. I love rock and roll, and there's a way to do that.
No, me too. I've dedicated my whole life to rock
and roll. Yeah, you're doing it a healthy way. Yeah. So,
but it's like, I've let people come live at my house before, and they just take advantage of it. And I feel like there's so much negativity going on, and then, I've played in bands with people that, you try to deal with them, and then instantly, from the moment of negotiation of any problem, whatever it may be, big or small, like, your energy level just starts to go down, and then they start to obfuscate and get people who are in your own other bands, they try to get them against you, and they try to do all this weird wagering of energy. And, I want to know if that's legit, because, I feel crazy when I'm trying to deal with it.
It's not. It's very manipulative and vampire-like. So as long as you're sensing that, I would just encourage you to, stay away and stick with the light.
Deborah, how did you key in on vampires? Was there some episode in your life that got you to want to write about them?
Well, it was. It was that bat.
Just the bat. The bat alone did this.
The bat alone did that. But I was studying a form of exorcism at the time, so I was in somewhat of a dark field.
We go to Eric in New Orleans. Hey, Eric, take it away. We got some time here for you.
Hi, how are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, good.
Good, thanks for having me. I wanted to talk about something that's very personal to me with my sister. It's going right now. She just got out of jail, and she started to dabble in Santeria, which, in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah, it's huge, that and voodoo as well. But I've been noticing in her house in particular, the energy level has shifted, and I'm starting to feel a lot of heaviness there. And so I don't really know how to approach the subject with her, and it's worrying me.
Eric, I don't think you're going to be able to approach it. She doesn't feel at the moment like she's going to listen.
What's he do? Just sit idly by and watch it happen? And watch her get deeper and deeper into the dark?
Well, he's concerned, but I don't think any efforts he's going to make right at the moment are going to dissuade her.
So there's nothing really he can do?
I don't think so. It feels like there's quite a drug connection there. Eric, would you agree?
I don't know. That's hard to say, because ever since she started to dabble in it, her personality just started to become a lot more reclusive. And I can feel it in the house, and I can see it on her, too,
Right. Yeah, no, it's palpable, isn't it? So, George, she's going to have to find her own bottom. We wish we could do this for other people, but unfortunately we just can't.
No.
Heartbreaking, isn't it?
That is so true. Okay, some quick tips on people. They go out, and I'm primarily concerned about the psychic vampires because they exhaust you. How do you know? Do you know it's that person, that's wiping you out, that's draining you?
Well, one thing you can do to find out really quickly is if you come home drained and you're not sure, who sucked all your energy, first thing to do is take a healing bath. George, that's a pound of sea salt and a pound of baking soda. It's a simple remedy.
And just jump in.
Jump in. Don't make the water too hot or you'll get drained.
Yeah.
You want to be
like a hot tub.
You want to be refreshed and relaxed. And if you don't feel good the next day, perhaps it wasn't that's sort of a draining experience. But if you feel better, you can be pretty assured that's probably what happened. And so just think back to who you were with. I bet you anything you can pinpoint the person. And then I suggest you avoid, you know, cut the conversation, change the topic, or they'll continue to drain you.
And you got to get away. Deborah, thank you. Good luck with this work, Entangled in Darkness.
Thanks so much, George.
All right. And on our next Coast to Coast program, by the way, it's time for investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howell. Normally, she's on the last Thursday of the month, but it's Thanksgiving, and so she's going to spend some time with family. We will, by the way, have a live program for you on Thanksgiving night as well. But join me tomorrow with Linda Moulton Howell with a couple incredible stories of high strangeness, followed by Conversations with Linda. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.